Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a writer, traveler, and an entrepreneur. His first real business was Yes Man Watches, a watch company he started while back in college. Having brought dozens of products to market and gaining years of experience in product sourcing and e-commerce, he decided to combine his expertise into a business. My guest is now the founder of Sourcify, where he connects product creators with the world's top manufacturers from their vetted sourcing pool. Now, let's hack Nathan Resnick. We spent a lot of time on Hack the Entrepreneur talking about building an audience, building an email list, and then building a relationship with those people. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that we don't in any way ever discuss the fact that email marketing is by far the best way to reach your customer, to deepen that relationship, and to make sales and generate revenue for your business. What we haven't really discussed is the fact that email works. Email works really, really well. It's absolutely, fully, completely proven. But what doesn't work is email marketing that is not targeted and not personalized. It's been proven companies using marketing automation will see 53% higher conversions than the rest of them. ActiveCampaign will enable you to send intelligent, driven emails based on customers' actions and their behaviors. ActiveCampaign will treat your contacts as unique individuals, which they are, and you need to remember that. Because rather than sending everyone the same message, ActiveCampaign will allow you to use marketing automation that can listen, learn, adapt, and respond, all based on your contact's behavior and their customer profile as it changes. Plus, it's kind of cool because you don't have to hire consultants and people to set it up. It's a beautiful, easy-to-use platform that anyone can get started on today. Right now, you should go sign up for a free 14-day trial. There's no credit card needed, and you will see why thousands are upgrading to a more intelligent marketing solution. Visit activecampaign.com/hack. There'll be no training fees, no contracts, and pricing is accessible to any size business. Start marketing smarter today. Go to activecampaign.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest. Nathan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely my pleasure, man. Absolutely my pleasure. I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
Totally. I'm excited.
Nice. What do you say we jump into it?
Let's do it.
Very cool. Nathan, can you tell me, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I say what I do is I set long-term goals, but break them up by short-term goals. So a lot of people, they say, you know, I want to start a business, but you can't just start a business overnight. You know, you see businesses that have rapid growth and develop incredible products, but there's different, you know, small short-term goals that they set each and every day to make that long-term goal happen. So for me, like, let's say I want to develop a new product. I break it down by the brand, by the design, by finding the manufacturer. And these small steps get me that long-term goal. So, you know, I do have a long-term vision for each one of my projects, but at the end of the day, what really sets my process apart is breaking it down into short-term goals.
Nice. Do you use this? I guess it's a philosophy or it's an actionable thing, but do you use this in all aspects of your life or just when it comes to defining a new business?
I'd say in most aspects of my life. Like, you know, I work out pretty much every day and I like going to the gym to lift because in the gym, it's like you and yourself, you know, it's you versus yourself. How hard can you push yourself? How hard can you go? And, you know, if I have a goal to bench 225 pounds for 5 reps, then I'm going to do everything I can that day in the gym to make that happen. And you know, sometimes you have a bad day in the gym, but same as in life, you know, you have to be able to set goals and track your goals to really achieve them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm super into this whole idea, sort of like of sprints. I set my goals by like quarterly now, so by 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
But how sort of like small or granular do you make your goals? Like, do you break them down from a huge, like, I want to start a new business, I need to find a product, to like monthly, or is it weekly? Is it daily? Is it hourly?
It's daily. So usually each day I set in the reminder section of my iPhone, I literally write down 3 bullet points of, you know, tasks or goals that I want to achieve each day. So for today, it could be write an article, you know, edit one of my articles, and then also source a product for one of our clients. I mean, I'm not going to go to sleep until I, you know, finish those 3 tasks for the day. But as a day type of thing, they might be considered tasks, but in the long run, they're moving me forward towards a goal of creating a successful company or, you know, developing a new product. So they're broken down by day.
Nice. I mean, every goal is basically a set of any number of tasks that you have to complete to
get
there.
Yeah.
It's just when you're doing it as a task, it seems so pointless, but it's really not. It's part of a whole.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you've started several businesses, Nathan. So I want to go back if we can, because there seems to be this time in every entrepreneur's life when they've realized one of 2 things. That either they had this calling to make this huge difference in the world, or as mostly seems to be the case, they found they just could not work for somebody else anymore.
Exactly.
So Nathan, could you tell me which side of the fence you're on first, and then take us back to when this happened.
I could not work for someone else anymore. And it happened to me at a young age. I mean, I was 19 years old. It was the summer after my freshman year of college. I was working a 9-to-5 sales internship, making an endless amount of cold calls each and every day, outbound cold calls. It was pretty brutal. I mean, I was selling these like iBlack products that professional athletes wear, and we're selling them to retailers across the country. And within the first week, I became like the sales rep with the most converting outbound calls. I mean, I was doing well at the job, but I was like, this is brutal. This is not what I want to do. It doesn't seem fulfilling at all. Why am I creating someone else's dream? And so in the back of my head, I had this concept for, you know, what became the first product Yes Man Watches launched. And what we did is we invented the only leather watch strap without holes. And it worked like a zip tie where you slide the strap through the buckle and the buckle caught on notches in the strap. And so, you know, I'd be working a 9-to-5 job. I'd get home 5:36, have dinner, go to the gym, and then I'd be working till about 3 a.m. because, you know, my time, 3 a.m. in D.C. where I grew up, is 3 a.m. in China. It's 3 p.m. in China. So I'd be talking to all these manufacturers trying to figure out, all right, how do I develop this product? And at the time, I knew nothing about product development, knew nothing about business, didn't really know anything about entrepreneurship, to be honest. And it was a complete learning curve. I mean, at the height of the company, you know, I was working in 4 different time zones. I had, you know, myself based in D.C. managing everything, trying to get this idea into an actual product. I had a buddy in San Diego where I went to university at the University of San Diego, helping me design logos. I hired a computer-aided design engineer who was based out of Budapest, who was doing our CAD designs. And I found him just through Upwork, you know, one of those freelancing websites, which was a whole nother process. And I had our manufacturer in China. So it was an incredible process just to, you know, have an idea and, you know, see it become this actual physical product that I can, you know, wear on my wrist. And in our case with Yes Man Watches. And, you know, still to this day, one of my favorite and most memorable days of my life is the day that our first prototype arrived. I was like, wow, like this is a product that I had in my head just a few months prior, and now it's in my hands. It was like so shocking to me that this is doable, that this is possible, and that I'm starting my own business, you know?
That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
So there's 2 things here. The first one is, do you think that job you had way back doing cold call selling, you were good at it, you didn't like it, and it pushed you to get into business, but do you think you learned about sales and the fact that you could make those calls if you needed to?
Definitely, 100%. And I mean, also it made me feel like I had a fallback, you know, as an entrepreneur. It's like, if I want to get a full-time job, I know I can, but at the same time, you know, I'm in it to chase my passion, to chase my dream, to bring products to life and develop some really cool companies. And I think everything you do in life, you know, even if you fail, you learn from it. That's really the key to success is learning. It's a continuous process of learning everything you can.
It's true. It's true. And, but you, when you started, you said like you did like out of school sales internship, and then you wanted to start a watch company, and you're like, I didn't know anything about product manufacturing, entrepreneurship. Basically, you didn't know how to do any of it.
Right.
How did you mentally overcome that hurdle? The fact that I have no experience in any of this.
I mean, mentally, I think I didn't even realize what I was doing at the time. It was just, I was,
that's the best way.
You know, I was on Google just searching, you know, how to start a watch company, how to find a manufacturer, just really, you know, basic questions. But people can learn anything nowadays. You just have to go online and search for it. You know, the amount of information and knowledge online is unbelievable. And, you know, I don't think you have to really go to school anymore per se to, you know, be smart. I mean, you can learn so much just through your ability to teach yourself. And, you know, for me, I think the best way to learn is by doing something. So when I actually sourced this product, when we developed this company and brought this product to life, I learned so much just through that whole process. And I didn't have a teacher. It was just me and a few buddies just really trying to figure out, how do we make this product happen? How do we, you know, make this company a success?
I love it. I love it. Just the idea of how to start a watch company.
Yeah.
And doing it. That's really what it takes.
Exactly.
So at the beginning, you said your one thing was the ability to set long-term goals and break them down into smaller, achievable goals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every business expert out there is talking about this 80-20 rule.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to do 20% that gets you the 80% of the results. Do what you're good at and delegate the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan, can you please tell me something that you're absolutely not good at in your business?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a huge learning curve for me, but delegation. I mean, when I was first starting Yes Man Watches, I was literally doing everything. I mean, from customer emails to social media to fulfillment, like literally every single part of Yes Man Watches had to be touched by me because it was my baby. And I was like, oh, like, you know, I'm not sure if I trust people to do this. But what I learned is that, you know, the people that you're working with, your employees, coworkers, colleagues, whatever it may be, your partners, they aren't going to do their job to an extent that they can do if you don't instill trust in them. You know, if you don't say like, look, like this is your job, you're responsible for this, you're going to make it happen. Like, I'm not going to be your watchdog and micromanage you. And so for me, that was a huge hurdle as an entrepreneur to realize like, wow, like I do not have enough time to do all of this. And there's no reason that I should be doing all of this. And so then I went back to the 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. And I was like, you know, automation, delegation, really trying to outsource some of these tasks that can be done by virtual assistants, that can be done by other people. And I realized like, okay, like set up specific guidelines to make it so you don't have to even, you know, manage this at all, you know, make it streamlined. And it enabled me to really not only scale the business, made my time so much more free. You know, I had time to do other things. I had time to finally hang out with friends. And it was a crazy realization that like, you know, delegation is a huge flaw that I have as an entrepreneur. And it's been a learning curve just to be able to understand how to properly not only manage people, but delegate tasks.
You are absolutely not alone in this. This idea of delegation being the hard thing to do,
mm-hmm.
as we get going. So you read the 4-Hour Workweek. We've all read the 4-Hour Workweek. It all mm-hmm. talks about automation and delegation, but mm-hmm. there's still a disconnect between actually doing it and reading it in a book.
Right.
So like, can you kind of tell us like how you got started and did?
Yeah. I mean,
I guess like, is it written processes? Is it just explaining it on Skype? Is it, what is it to get going in this?
Yeah. I mean, so I had a buddy who had been working with a few different virtual assistants, and he hired them through this site called onlinejobs.ph. It's like an outsourcing website through the Philippines. Basically like a Upwork, but specifically towards the Philippines. And, you know, people there that we found were a lot cheaper and pretty hard workers as well. So I, you know, basically had that page up on the book where it teaches you how to delegate tasks to these virtual assistants, you know, step by step. And I was just writing down guidelines and different tasks for each one of these virtual assistants, whether it be custom emails and stuff like that. And, you know, at first, I still kept a watchful eye over these assistants and what they were doing, but eventually it was just automated and it became like this realization that, oh, wow, like people actually do their work if you, you know, still trust in them and let them do their own thing. You know, people are generally pretty smart, I think, if you really give them the tools to succeed.
I love it. onlinejobs.ph.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And Upwork. All right, let's move to projects if we can, Nathan.
Definitely.
So projects is a loose term, but you can decide big project or small project. I would love to know what your process is personally, whether it's an internal gut process or like a written process you have. But what is the process you go through when an idea is brought to you or it comes to you in the shower? What do you go through to decide that a project is now worth yours and your team's time, energy, and resources?
Totally. So first thing I do is write it down 100%. I mean, for me, sometimes, I don't know why, but whenever I'm trying to fall asleep at night, like it happened last night too, but I always have these ideas come to my head. And like, it's a big problem for me to look at my phone like before I go to sleep or right when I wake up. But you know, when I have this idea and my phone's right next to my bed, I'm going to take out my phone and write it down. I don't know if I'm the only one that does that, but it's just, you know, it keeps me up at night when I have these ideas in my head. And so basically my process is, number one, I ask, is this a product that I would use? And for me with Yes Man Watches, like really the brand grew through my group of college buddies. Like it stemmed from this fear of missing out. You know, we believe everything started with yes, and it grew into this brand that, you know, one day I'm at this like mastermind group talk and we're going around and this guy, I mean, Mornay Sherry, I'll introduce you to him. He'd be a great guy to have on here, but we're going around this group and he's asking people about themselves. He's like, I don't want to know about your business. Your business name. I don't care about that. I just want to know about you. And he's going around and he goes to me, he's like, man, like you seem like a yes man. Like you're go getter, say yes to a bunch of things. And everyone's just shell shocked because this guy, you know, basically said that I was a yes man and my company was called Yes Man Watches. And it was just so mind blowing to see that, you know, not only this guy's ability to read people, but that this brand had become kind of a extension of myself. And so, you know, with my newest project, Sourcify, one of the hardest hurdles that we faced at Yes Man Watches, I mean, literally what we spent most of our time on was finding the right manufacturer, setting up our supply chain. And I realized through the process of, you know, networking with so many e-commerce entrepreneurs that there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of other entrepreneurs out there that face that same hurdle of finding the right manufacturer. And it's so hard to do. And when it's not like a, you know, when you don't have the money to fly over to China, when you don't, you know, have that knowledge to go over there, it's a huge hurdle that people face and that I face myself. And so I realized like, wow, Sourcify is solving a huge problem that I face, that other entrepreneurs face, and that we're really trying to help people. Our main goal is to help people bring more products to life. And it kind of matched up with my background. I don't know if you know this, but I actually used to live in China during my junior year of high school. I was a foreign exchange student there, living with a host family and attending a local Chinese high school. So I speak Chinese near fluently and understand their culture. And it was just a complete match with skill sets, passion, and vision to bring Sourcify to life.
Wow. I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
It's one of those things that it's that whole doesn't make sense kind of going through it. Like when mm-hmm. you're an exchange student and learn the language and now here you are
right.
running a business.
Yeah, I mean, that was the craziest year of my life. I was 16 years old and I'll tell you just a brief story about it. I literally, to get onto my school's campus, it was a local high school, I'd wear this like light blue jumpsuit, like a tracksuit. That was their school uniform. And I'd ride my bike to school every day, like 15-minute ride. And people would just do double takes. I mean, scream, la wai, which means foreigner in Chinese. And I would just get so many looks throughout, you know, each and every day of riding my bike to school. But it was an incredible experience. I mean, I would highly recommend going to China for anyone that hasn't been before.
Yeah, that's awesome. So 16 and going to school. What city was this in?
This was in Beijing.
In Beijing. Nice. Awesome. So deciding on a project, is this a product that you would use? And then your background kind of ties into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you have, I mean, you're writing, you are running Sourcify. Are you the type of person who is 100% like tunnel vision now on these projects?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you always kind of open to starting something else?
I mean, I think to be honest, that's been, you know, besides delegation, that's been my other biggest flaws in entrepreneur is sometimes lack of focus. You know, I don't think you can have your hands in too many baskets basically to make a successful business. So Sourcify is my main focus right now, but I am always open to other ideas and working with other people. But at the same time though, I mean, I think really to make a successful business, you do need to have some sort of laser focus in terms of really making that business grow.
Yeah. And Fair enough. It is hard. It's a struggle, right? Especially because, like you said, you're trying to go to sleep at night and you have more ideas.
Exactly.
I guess the idea is to try and make those ideas flow in the direction of projects you're already sunk into.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's kind of how Cork Supply Co. came about, was with Yes Man Watches, you know, the e-commerce stuff that we're doing at the time and the sourcing ability that we had. I was in my buddy's wine cellar just one winter break, and he had like 1,000 wine corks laying around. And I was like, man, like, what do you do with these wine corks? He's like, I mean, I don't know. I don't think you can really recycle them. So I started doing research on cork, and it turns out it's 100% recyclable, renewable, and there's not that many people that are utilizing this material, you know, besides for wine corks, of course. And so we developed this brand around this cork material that is completely renewable and recyclable.
Where do you, since your businesses have been in, I guess, e-commerce and importing from China, and now you're helping other people do that. I mean, since you've gotten started in the past, 3 years, it's, at least from the outside, I'm not part of it, but it's completely exploded, right? As in, like, it's so popular and so many people are doing it with, I mean, Amazon now, and you can get your products. Where is this true? Like, is this how it is? Is it harder to get into now for people? And maybe, like, do you have a projection of where it's going?
Right. I wouldn't say it's harder. I'd say it's actually easier. But what I would say is it's more competitive. And the reason why I'd say it's easier is because you have so many, you know, ways to sell online right now. Like, you have Shopify, which enables you to put on an e-commerce store in a day, basically. You have Amazon, like you said, where you can just use your FBA fulfillment by Amazon. And it's a lot easier than it was right now to you know, import products from abroad and start selling them online and do that type of business. But I think what makes it harder is that it's so much more competitive right now, whether it be trying to rank your products on Amazon, whether it be trying to run successful, profitable ad campaigns through Facebook. It's a lot more competitive. And I think really what sets, you know, your product apart is, number one, you know, the quality, of course, if you're just selling more of a generic product. But more importantly for me in my world is the brand. How does your brand connect with people? How does your brand, you know, display itself on social media? It's all in the brand when you're selling a product that, you know, isn't 100% unique.
And when you say, like, your brand, like, you literally mean your brand. It doesn't matter if you're selling watches or, I guess, corks, but, or t-shirts or, like, notebooks. Do you believe you should build a brand around that identity?
100%. I mean, I think even to the extent if you're selling like a generic product, I think your brand needs to connect with people. You know, when people see your brand, they need to feel that connection. They need to feel trust. And to enable people to connect with your brand, there's, you know, a number of ways to do so. You know, I think the biggest trend right now is towards influencer marketing, you know, getting influencers to wear your products, to rock them on social media. And then it's a matter of just retargeting. You know, you can get so analytical and so specific with retargeting ads right now. It's unbelievable. I mean, if you go on my website, I can retarget you on any website online right now.
It's almost creepy.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And to the specifics of what size you were looking at, what color you were looking at. I mean, it's pretty nuts.
Yeah. And I agree that it doesn't matter what your product is, you have to make that brand stand out. And I think definitely. That's where the disconnect is for a lot of people. They think that, oh, it's just a watch or it's just a t-shirt. It's like,
exactly.
But then you look at the clothes they're wearing and it's all really well-branded clothing.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, Nathan, this has been an absolute blast, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
No problem, man. I want to wrap up on one final question for you, if I can. It's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap. So as entrepreneurs, as dreamers, we always seem to project our successes personally into the future, meaning in 3 months when you hit that goal, in 6 months when you get published in that publication, whatever it happens to be, you and I both know that seconds before you hit that goal, you're going to set 5 or 10 bigger ones into the future. And I fully agree we have to, but like walking towards the horizon, the further you walk, the further away it gets. From the outside, we look successful. From ourselves, it's always in front of us. So since Beijing at 16, through school to selling and now running 3 businesses, you've come a long way. So I would love it if you could stop, turn around and look behind you, the highs, the lows, the wins and the losses. Without looking forward, tell me how you feel about the journey up until today.
That's a great question. I mean, I think in one word, I'd say it's incredible, but I also think, you know, this is just a start. You know, every day is a new day, and how are you going to make the most of it? Everyone has 24 hours in a day. How are you going to make the most of your time? Looking back, you know, I think this really reminds me of, I just read Tim Ferriss's new book, Tool of the Titans, and one of my favorite lines, I forget who said it, but is a lot of people you hear them say, like, ask yourself, what would you tell your 30-year-old self, you know, looking back when you're like 60 or so, but ask yourself right now, like, looking from the present to the future, like, what would your future self tell yourself right now? So then you can act on what your future self would tell yourself in this present moment. So for me, you know, I think it's really a matter of being goal driven to push myself further. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you're amazing, you've done this, you've done that. But to me, you know, this is just the start, and I want to be even more successful. I want to grow these brands into something special, and I want to, you know, Sourcefy help, you know, thousands of entrepreneurs bring products to life. And so to wrap it all up, I mean, I think as an entrepreneur, you need to take it day by day and make sure your goals are aligning with what your future self would tell yourself right now.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I love it, man. I love how you tied goals into the beginning and the end as well.
Thank you.
Very well done. All right, man. So we've got to talk about your business in passing. Could you right now tell the listener, give them the pitch and tell them where to track you down online?
Totally. Yeah. Nathan Resnick, just go to nathanresnick.com, or my main company right now is Sourcefy. We help entrepreneurs find the right manufacturer. So if you're struggling to bring a product to life or have an idea, feel free to reach out to me. My email is Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N, at trysourcefy.com.
Awesome. nathanresnick.com, trysourcefy.com. Also, we mentioned Tools of Titans by Tim Ferriss, Upwork, and onlinejobs.ph. I will find links to all of those, put them in the show notes on Hack the Entrepreneur for you when you're done working out, jogging, walking your dog, whatever did you do.
Perfect.
Nathan, thanks again, man, so much for joining. Thanks for sharing so openly. And please just keep doing what you're doing, man, because it's awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, ActiveCampaign. ActiveCampaign enables you to send perfectly timed messages in response to your customers' actions and behaviors. It allows you to treat your customers as unique individuals rather than sending everyone the same message. The reason why I know this is I've switched Hack the Entrepreneur over to ActiveCampaign and have spent the last 30 days diving into marketing automation, and I'm absolutely loving it. To sign up for your own 14-day free trial, no credit card needed, go to activecampaign.com/hack. That's activecampaign.com/hack. For being a Hack the Entrepreneur listener, you're going to get free migration, your second month of service absolutely free, plus an exclusive one-on-one strategy session with a platform consultant. Get started right now at activecampaign.com/hack. Nathan, thank you so much. That was a lot of fun. I really, really, truly enjoyed that conversation. And I appreciate you sharing so openly with me and everyone out there listening. So we've reached the point in the conversation where I need to go back through it and listen to it as you get to listen to it. So I went back through the conversation, then I went back through the conversation again. That second time through the conversation, there was something that Nathan had said that I had missed. I had missed the first time and I had missed the second time. But it was there. It was the one thing, and it was so very, very, very clear to me. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I was on Google just searching, you know, how to start a watch company, how to find a manufacturer, just really, you know, basic questions. But people can learn anything nowadays. You just have to go online and search for it.
And that's the hack. Nathan, Nathan, Nathan. I love this. I love the simplicity of this. And I love the, I'm going to call it the entrepreneurial spirit behind it. Nothing was there to stop you. You had never started a company. You had never started a watch company. What did you do? What do you do when you need to know how to change a tap in your bathroom? What do you do when you need to know how to make some sort of dinner for your friends? I don't know. You search it on Google, right? Like, these aren't excuses. The fact that you don't know how to find a product or sell a product or connect a shopping cart to whatever it happens to be, search it. Find the information you need and move forward. This is a call to action to do what's necessary to accomplish what you want to accomplish. There's no excuses. It's literally all there for you. Like, don't go and get overwhelmed. Don't find things that are 5 steps ahead of you right now, or 10 steps ahead of you, or even 2 steps ahead of you. Find what the next thing is. That's it. If you want to start a watch company online, maybe it's not super important what WordPress theme you use right now. Maybe it's more important to find where do you get watches to sell? Where do you find a manufacturer? How do you build that brand for it? How do you get things across the border? Those are the things you need to know. You need to know what people are selling. You need to know what the prices are, whatever it happens to be. Do the next step, but search it, take the action on it, and never use it as an excuse that you don't know, because you can and should. It's all at your fingertips. It's on that phone that you spend all the time on. like you probably spend hours a day, like most of us do, on our phone looking at stuff. Look at the next step you need to do, the next tiny step to move forward to where you want. If you are selling $1,000 worth of your product right now and you want to know how to use email to scale that to $2,000, search that. Find it and do it. Do what's necessary. Don't use it as an excuse that you don't know. I was on Google and I was searching for it. And you can find anything you want, as Nathan says, if you just go online and search for it, then take action and move forward. Nathan, thank you. All right, well, that was a lot of fun, as always. It's so very cool of you to stop by. Hacktheentrepreneur.com. We have been, as I've said, this year, 2017, we are going deeper into content, written content, and creating some cool stuff, some stuff that I think is going to help you get your businesses up and running and scaling the way you want to. So we've been writing 1 or 2 articles per week, and we just started actually a brand new series. It's an interview series, but it's text-based, called How I Started. And my good friend Andreas Zelita of Boutique Japan, it's a boutique travel, Japan travel agency, asked him 21 questions, how he started his business, how he got his first customers, his next customers, and what he's doing to scale, and what he's learned as an entrepreneur. You can check that out on the blog at hacktheentrepreneur.com. Check it out. Leave a comment. Share it if you want. I don't know. Tell me what you think. Because I have 4 others already completed. Those will be published every 2 weeks on a Wednesday. So yeah, head over there. Let me know. And you can get on the email over there if you want as well. And I'm going to hook you up so you can get access to those when they come out. All right. It's been fun. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really 100% appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.